As we look back and reflect on September 11th today, I want to quote something that President Bush said about September 11th, the lesson of September 11th. He said this repeatedly. It became boilerplate in the speeches. September the 11th taught us a lesson I will never forget, and America must never forget. America must confront threats before they fully materialize. My administration looked at the facts and the history and looked at the intelligence in Iraq, and we saw a threat. He's clearly saying that September 11th is the reason he looked at Iraq differently and saw a threat there.
Yeah, are you surprised by that?
Yes.
After September 11th, of course you look at threats differently. Your country's just been attacked. You know that you cannot allow threats to materialize. Do you know how many times I've been asked?
But there was nothing in the threat that Iraq presented that was in any way related to us in September 11th.
Lawrence, we can end this interview right now if you don't want me to finish my point. Thank you. If one looks at what happened to us on September 11th, we didn't connect the dots. There was a threat materializing that we didn't respond to. Saddam Hussein had been a threat from the time that he invaded Iran in the late 1980s through the 1991, when in fact he went into Kuwait, dragging us into war. We thought he had reconstituted his weapons of mass destruction. And in a context in which terrorism and weapons of mass destruction was a nexus that we could not allow, we decided that this was a threat that had to be dealt with.
40,000 casualties later in Iraq, 4,400 American military deaths in Iraq later. Would you say that is the single biggest miscalculation that the Bush administration made, that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and must be stopped by those military men who went in there and found no weapons of mass destruction?
Saddam Hussein was a threat. He had used weapons of mass destruction.
But we now know he wasn't
a
threat.
This was not... Lawrence, are we going to do this with my answers or with your commentary? We had not focused on the fact, you have not focused on the fact, that Saddam Hussein had been a threat to the United States of America, to the Middle East, since he invaded Iran. Now, we made the wrong call then, and we supported him against Iran. He then became a more monstrous threat. After 1991, shooting at our aircraft in the no-fly zone that was supposed to be keeping his Air Force on the ground, trying to reconstitute his weapons of mass destruction, breaking out of the sanctions through the scandalous oil for food program. Yes, he was a threat. With or without mature weapons of mass destruction, he was a threat. And nothing of value is ever won without sacrifice. Of course, the lives lost will never be brought back. But in Iraq, that is not a threat to invade its neighbors, not a threat to reconstitute its weapons of mass destruction, not a threat to play Palestinian terrorists as suicide bombers. That's going to be a better Iraq and a better Middle East. And so, in fact, I think that what we did in Iraq will be demonstrated by history to be an important part, an important pillar of a new Middle East.
Well, I think history demonstrates that Iraq presented absolutely no threat to the United States whatsoever. And
that would be a surprise to the 16 Security Council resolutions that called him a threat to international peace and
using
security.
Information
that would be
was
a surprise.
Not true.
That would be a surprise. No. That was on the basis of his invasion of Kuwait and the weapons of mass destruction that were found there in 1991. The weapons inspectors who could not do their jobs and so left in 1998. The attack by President Clinton in 1998 to try to bomb those sites. It would be a surprise to the Kurds who he gassed, and the Iranians who he gassed, and the people in the south of his country who he gassed. It would be a surprise to the CIA that considered him a massive threat to international peace and security.
I think he was a threat to Kuwait. He was a threat to the Kurds.
You know,
I do not think
Lawrence
he was a threat to New Yorkers.
Lawrence,
do you think
you
he was a threat to
Lawrence,
New Yorkers?
You obviously have a very different view than the UN Security Council.
Do you
obviously
think he was
have
the
a very
same
different
threat
view.
To New Yorkers
you obviously
that Osama
have a very different
was?
You obviously have a very different view than those people who were flying the no-fly zones, like the soldier who's in my class at Stanford who was shot at by Saddam Hussein. So you may not view him as a threat. Most of the world did.
Most of the world didn't, which is why we couldn't assemble the coalition that we would have liked to assemble to go in there.
How many countries? I have a question for you. I have a question for you. How many countries fought in the coalition?
We don't have enough time to review all that history.
You've just made a charge.
I would like to review your feelings about things you said ramping up to the war.
No, not until
the threat of a mushroom cloud from Saddam Hussein, you now know was completely false.
You know
what? Do you regret saying that?
Do you know what?
Would you take that back if you could?
You know what? You've just made a false statement. You said we couldn't assemble a coalition. How many countries fought in the coalition
actually
in
fought
Iraq?
And had casualties?
How many
actually
countries
fought?
Yeah, how many?
Maybe a half a dozen actually fought.
Oh, I see. So the Georgians who went there and the Japanese
actually
who went
had
there
soldiers
and
firing weapons on
this
the ground?
This was not part of the coalition. The people who, the British and the Australians and the Poles and all of those who, the Canadians, all of those who ultimately were in Iraq, these were not part of the coalition.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. So
now,
your statement was just false.
About the mushroom cloud that you were completely wrong about, would you say that was possibly the single worst misstatement by a national security advisor publicly?
I said that we could not afford to have it be a mushroom cloud.
Where did you think that mushroom cloud would be?
Lawrence, you have a bad habit with your guests. You never let them answer a question.
Go ahead. Where would the mushroom cloud be?
The question was, had Saddam Hussein actually reconstituted his nuclear weapons, or was he trying to? And if you look at the intelligence reporting at the time, it said that he could possibly reconstitute that nuclear capability within a year with foreign assistance, and that he was trying to do it.
But we
what
don't know
I said,
all that was wrong.
What I said,
he couldn't have reconstituted anything in a year. We know. Why recite things that we know were wrong and have been proven wrong?
Because what you know today can affect what you do tomorrow, but what you know today cannot affect what you did yesterday. At the time, we didn't know that he had not reconstituted. The intelligence said he was reconstituting, that he was reconstituting his nuclear program. He had reconstituted his biological and chemical program. He was shooting at our aircraft. He was a threat to international peace and security. He'd been sanctioned by the UN 17 times on that course. He was a threat.
The aluminum tubes that you said were used exclusively for nuclear weapons obviously were not. They were the kind of tubes that were used for rockets. When you say that intelligence indicated that, your White House was using intelligence incorrectly. You were misstating what the intelligence actually was.
Lawrence, we can do this one way or another, all right? You can let me answer your questions, or you can make rhetorical statements.
Let's talk about the aluminum tubes that you were so wrong about. That's one of those things you like to use as an indication of what the intelligence was telling you, but the White House was misinterpreting the intelligence.
No. This was not the White House misinterpreting anything. The director of the CIA briefed the Congress that those aluminum tubes were most likely for nuclear capability.
You said exclusively.
We believed that the tubes, given Saddam Hussein's history, given the long trail of what he was trying to acquire, were for nuclear weapons. Now, you were right. The intelligence turned out to have been wrong. But, you know, you don't get to get up in the morning and say, you know, my intelligence might be wrong. You have to act on the intelligence that you have. And that's the intelligence that we had at the time.
When you look at what we now are calling the Arab Spring, and you look at these uprisings against these dictators in the region, would it have been better now, knowing what we all know now, would it have been better to wait and let history catch up with Saddam Hussein in Iraq? Do you think we might have a similar uprising in Iraq today?
Was a threat, and we dealt with the threat. We didn't go to Iraq to bring democracy any more than dealing with Adolf Hitler was to bring democracy to Germany. But once there, we felt that we had to help the Iraqi people get to democracy. And it's simply ill-informed and ahistorical to suggest that a dictator as brutal as Saddam Hussein would have allowed an Arab uprising in his country. You're looking at a dictator in Syria put down an uprising. You're looking at a dictator in Libya who has tried to put down an uprising. And if you want to talk about a humanitarian disaster, why did we go into Libya? because he was about to mow down his own people. He was going to eliminate his own people. He was going to commit genocide against his own people. Saddam Hussein committed chemical warfare against his own people. And I'd really like to have an answer from those who say it was a good thing to intervene humanitarian way in Libya because Gaddafi was killing massive numbers of civilians. Saddam Hussein put 400,000 people in mass graves. He used chemical weapons against Kurds and Shia. If that wasn't a humanitarian reason to intervene, quite apart from the security reasons, I really think people have a lot of explaining to do.
But you would grant the style of intervention in Libya and Iraq is totally different.
Well, yes, because Libya and Muammar Gaddafi are thankfully not Saddam Hussein. But if you think for 1 minute that you were going to be able to take Saddam Hussein down by mass protests in the streets, then you're clearly ill-informed.
We'll never know. Dr. Rice, thank you.
Yeah, you're right. We'll never know. But I would have to say anybody who thinks that that's going to happen would have to be pretty ill-informed.
That'll be the last word. Dr. Rice, thank you very, very much for
joining
me.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you.